So I think everybody wants to be a somebody in at least someone's eyes. Yeah, I do. I believe that. I think that there's something that goes on deep inside of us that because of the way we're made, we want to be noticed. We'd like to be respected, loved, valued, that it's inherent in the very issue of being a human being. That when we live in a world where we are not noticed, it can be an amazingly lonely and desolate place. When no one notices, no one sees, there's something that happens in us that is, well, it leads to an emptiness that at times is hard to even describe. It can also lead to a degree of painkilling that in the end can actually do more harm to us than it does good. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and I think that this inherent drive to want to be valued, to want to be loved, to want to be noticed, really leads us, when we're not centered in Christ, to turn to a whole lot of other things to try to secure what it is that we think we need in order to be a somebody, in order to be valued, in order to be respected and noticed. I've been thinking about myself recently and looking not just far back into my story, but even into the issues of my more recent story. And I can tell you something, that I too had this longing, have this longing to be valued, to be respected, to be included, to be loved, to belong. And I began to look at what some of my self-centered strategies have been over the years to try to accomplish that. And, well, like I often do, I've limited my perspective to certain words that all start with a letter A. I don't know what it is about me. I have A words, and I have R words, and I have V words. I guess I figure that I only have to pull out one filing cabinet in my mind, the filing cabinet of A, and look around a little bit, and then I can remember what it is that I've been thinking about or what I've said in the past. So in this case, I'm looking at some A words, and I wonder if you would look at them too as to whether there's any place in your own life that you found that you invested in these kinds of strategies to try to secure yourself, to try to be a somebody, to try to be valued and noticed. So the first word is achievement. Well, yeah, we've talked about that some in the past. It's a whole idea of performance, that somehow we believe that if we can perform properly, that our core longings will be met, that we'll be noticed, that people will love us, that people will see us as valuable. And so off we go in life to try to achieve. And part of that's related to the way we are raised. I mean, parents applaud us when we do something good, and often they discipline us when we do something poorly. I bet you experienced that. Also, you go to school and you recognize there are A players and B players, people that are on the good list and people that are on the not so valued list. And so we all try to do things that are going to improve us and to achieve. And I would love to tell you that that's only something that happens, quote, in the world, but it happens in the church too. And so I've done it. I've wanted this kind of embrace by people, and so I sought to achieve, whether it was through athletics or through education or through my ministry, whatever it is. Now, I can't say that I was consciously driven, but I do know that subconsciously that deep internal sense that I want to be valued to some degree or another drove this achievement. Okay, not only achievement, but what about the word appeasement? That's the people-pleasing part of it. How do we appease people to get what it is that we need? I've been reflecting back on my childhood quite a bit lately. Maybe I do that a lot. But anyhow, as I have, I thought about the fact that my mom was often in a bit of tension, and I would try to figure out what I could do to calm her down. And if I needed to, I would appease her. I would try to please her. Why? Because I wanted to feel safe. I didn't want to be punished. I didn't want to be rejected. So here we go again. You want to be noticed. You want to be respected, valued, loved. Well, sometimes we move into appeasement. What do people need us to be in order that we think that we can then be accepted? Well, I think that's very valuable. But now we go to the next level, and that is sometimes it moved from achievement and appeasement to aggression. This internal sense of anger, if you will, that that's mine and I want it. And aggression can be both reaching out to grab and extending arms to push back. And aggression becomes a response that's often driven by deep insecurity. And we end up hurting people. You know, in our society, the idea of achieving and appeasing, some people see that as good. They even like that in individuals. But aggression, that's more toxic. And people, you know, they don't respond so well to aggression. But yet somehow deep inside, we begin to figure out that that's one of the ways that we can get what we need. Well, anyhow, I've done it. Maybe you haven't, but I have. But let me give you to another place, and that is the whole idea of avoidance. I've done a lot of avoidance in my life. You know, fear and anxiety rise up, or I think that someone, if I do a particular thing, will not like me or reject me. And there have been times in the past when I would do this idea of avoiding certain things, avoiding certain statements, avoiding certain places, avoiding hanging out with certain people, avoiding doing certain things. Why did I do that? Because I was afraid that if I did those things, maybe someone would like me a little less, wouldn't notice me, wouldn't love me, wouldn't value me. Okay, we've talked about these themes before. I'm just looking at them from a different angle, but I think it's important that we do that because we're going to come back to this whole idea about Jesus and his love and how Jesus was able to love so dramatically because he didn't get caught up in these kind of strategies that I get caught up in. I don't look at Jesus and see anything in him in which he was trying to achieve or appease people. He certainly didn't try to appease people when he was speaking against abuse of power. You don't see Jesus acting out with aggression, even when people were being aggressive toward him. And it kind of seems like Jesus didn't avoid much. Whatever the Father had him to do, Jesus stepped forward and do it. I mean, there's a lot of health there. I never find a place where also Jesus had to grab his in order to convince people that he was a somebody. He was able to, as I mentioned before, lay down his life. He was so loving. He was so accepting. He would even hang out with people that other people saw as unclean, as undesirables. And he got criticized for that. You know that. Why do you have dinner with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus, well, he becomes known as the friend of sinners because he says, look, these people need me. His degree of acceptance and love is also just overwhelming and amazing. And as I've mentioned before, he was able to, I don't know, love in such a way that he laid down his life. He was accepting. He noticed others. He valued others. He respected others. And it never seemed to be something that he worried about in terms of what impact that would have on him, even when he knew that this could lead to his own demise. Jesus continued on to love the unlovable, to care for those that others weren't caring about, and giving his life. You see, this is what Richard Beck was talking about in the book I mentioned recently that I was reading when he said that Jesus, his whole identity was held by God outside himself. He entrusted what was most important to himself to God. Basically saying, God, would you hold this? I don't know. It's like, you know, a guy that, you know, he's about to jump in swimming and he notices that his wallet with all of his possessions are in his back pocket. He turns to his friend and he says, hey, would you hold this? I'm jumping in. And when Jesus came to life, it's like everything that was valuable to him, his identity, his very life, his well-being, his reputation, he just handed it to Father. Father, would you hold this? Because I'm jumping in. I think this is all based on the fact that he knew that God was the one that held his identity and secured his identity. He didn't have to look to achievement and appeasement and to aggression and avoidance to somehow be noticed or valued or loved because he already knew it. It was part of what happened to Jesus when at the baptism, all heaven opens up before him and he hears those words that he's loved and he's chosen, he's empowered. And once he knew that, It's as if Jesus could do anything the Father wanted him to do, and he wasn't walking around trying to be noticed, wondering who's going to accept him, wondering who's going to in any way value or respect him. He was out doing that for others because he was secure in who God made him to be. Look, I go through different seasons like you do, and in some of the seasons of my life, maybe when I'm fretting a bit more, I get to worrying about possessions and, you know, have we laid aside enough for our retirement, and I wonder how people are thinking about us. And of course, a couple issues that always revolve among my life is, you know, how am I going to do with anxiety, and am I going to stay sane? And I can give a lot of energy to those kinds of things. Jesus didn't give energy to that. Why? Because it was in the Father's hand. Here, hold this. I'm jumping in. Hold my possessions. Hold my life. Hold my mind. Hold my sanity, Father. That's in your hands because I'm going to jump in right now. That's how secure Jesus was. He had such security with the Father that he was able to serve and lay down, not worrying, because he basically said this: the most important things of my life are held firmly in the Father's hands. So I just returned from doing a seminar, and God really blessed us. It was wonderful, no doubt. But you know, sometimes I get up in the morning, I'm a little tired, maybe on the third or fourth day, and I'm getting ready to go in, and I begin to get a little bit anxious. I wonder how I'm going to do. I hope I'm okay up there. I hope I'm able to serve and that, you know, nothing goes sideways. And I began to think about the fact of Jesus saying, Father, would you hold what is valuable to me because I'm jumping in? Just like I would have done if my wallet had been in my pocket as I'm getting to jump into a swimming pool. I give it to a trusted friend. Here, you hold this. I don't even have to worry about it. I'm going in. I know it'll be safe with you. And so I began to think about that. And so I said, Father, this morning I'm going up there and I'm going to serve. And I'm going to, I want you to know, I want to entrust to you my identity, being loved, any degree to be noticed or respected, my sanity, my ability, my performance. I want to give it all to you, Father. Father, would you hold that? Keep it safe. Because I know for me, I want to jump in. And you know what? I felt something. I just focused on what God was calling me to do. And it's a practice I want to do over and over and over again to remember that when we are secure, when we know who we are, when we've experienced that somebody-ness that comes to us through Jesus Christ, that we can take the most important things in our lives that we often fret over and expend a lot of energy over, and we can just pray a simple little prayer. Father, will you hold this? No need for achievement or appeasement or aggression or avoidance. Not today. I can just go value others because the stream of your presence is moving. The kingdom is advancing, and that's what I want to be part of. And so, Father, I just lift my head to heaven and I say thanks. That the most important things of my life, my identity, my security, being loved, being cared for, it's in your hands. Now let me go get wet and see what you're going to do today that's just going to take my breath away. I wonder if you'd try that. I'm sure we'll need to go to that posture over and over again, but I want to encourage you. Think about it. Jesus was able to lay down his life and to serve and to notice and care and respect because his Father in heaven held the most important things. God said, I love you, I choose you, I give you my power, you are my child, I'm holding this for you. He's holding it for you too. What if we'd start seeing the opportunity to go into life and ministry like a swimming pool, and that we take out of our back pocket all the things that we think we have to hold that are so important, hand it to our trusted friend Jesus, hand it to our Father and say, hold this, we're jumping in, and we don't have to worry about it in any way. We can just go do what you want us to do. Hey, friends, I want you to know you are a somebody, and God loves you. Jesus crossed the universe for you. And don't forget, God's face is shining on you. Until we're together again,